Settle into that fantastic feeling. Don't forget, you still need to send in that pledge of support to finalize your promise to KPFT. But be warned, that fantastic feeling will soon follow. Thanks for supporting KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Falinski.
Brian Levinka.
Sora Iman.
And Glenn Holt. And tonight in our second hour, we have Lestopia Radio. But first, Out to Enroll is a new coalition of organizations working to help lesbi, gay, and transgender people get affordable, comprehensive health insurance coverage through the Affordable Care Act. The Lesbian Health Initiative was selected locally as part of the advisory committee that will work to help Houstonians enroll, and we will be talking about that. In news wrap, four protesters of Russia's no-promo homo laws were roughly arrested in Moscow this week. At least 67 LGBT activists trying to observe National Coming Out Day there were attacked by homophobes and then arrested in St. Petersburg. But the city's side-by-side film festival successfully appealed its conviction and heavy fine for being a, quote, foreign agent. And after several years of lobbying, the late Harvey Milk will be on a U.S. postage stamp next year. In the feature segments from This Way Out, first a look at a contradiction in New Jersey politics. They love Governor Chris Christie, and they approve of gay marriage, but the governor doesn't. After that, several right-wing groups in the U.S. have been turning their homophobic energy to Russia since they're losing the battle here. And what is gay, and how does one go about looking gay? Cultural theorist Charlie Bauer tries to figure that one out in his audio essay, Do I Look Gay? At 10 o'clock, it's Lestopia Radio. Topics this month include an interview with a member of the Clicks to talk about their upcoming Houston performance, interview with the winner of the Outsmart magazine's Gayest and Greatest Award for Best Local Band, and, of course, the latest in techie trends. Jack.
Well, you know we're here, and we're asking for money again. Yes, it's that time of the year that we do this on KPFT.
But you know what? It's so much better that we ask for money for what we do than that we have people on here asking you to buy their products.
That's true. That's true. However, and we didn't hear this officially from KPFT, because they don't usually tell us stuff like this, but there is a move towards a New York station to be what's called brokered. Basically, they're going to rent it out, because New York cannot meet its, and apparently New York station has been, hasn't raised enough money in many, many years. Their expenses are incredibly high, like just for their rental for their tower space and their transmitter space is like $50,000 a month, from my understanding. I'm reading this, I'm getting this information from Radio Survivor, which is a blog post about radio and TV. And of course, I know there's going to be a lot of controversy about this, but basically, one of our stations, now they can't do that here in Houston because we're in the area of the band between 88 and 92 where we cannot be brokered. If they ever try to do something like that in Houston, they basically have to sell the station. But in New York, because they just cannot raise enough money to keep the station going, they're basically going to rent it out. Now, I know they're going to try to find somebody that agrees with the Pacifica mission, but I don't know how easily that's going to be able to be done. I'm not trying to like scare you, but this is the reality about what I'm reading here about what's going on in New York. There's going to be a Pacifica board meeting here in Houston in the next couple weeks, I understand. Of course, they haven't officially told us that either. So, you know, we're in trouble. We're basically in trouble. And we would really like to pull our own wait here, and our goal for this particular program for this week is $600. I know it's tough for a lot of people to be able to give money at this time. There's so many other things going on in your life, I'm sure, or maybe you're still, you know, living at home. You don't have that type of money. But if you're able to donate to Queer Voices and KPFT, we would certainly appreciate it. We think that we bring good programming to this station. I mean, what we're talking about tonight is the American Affordable Care Act, and that's something really, really important, something very, very confusing. And we're going to try to make it easier for people to understand, especially in our own community, how people could apply for it. So we're asking you to become part of this station. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go right to our website, kpft.org, and it's much easier to do it that way. Thank you for listening to Queer Voices.
Headlights hitting us like two suns as we crawled out of the water, caught in the middle of our love. Laughing, running through the night, your hand caught mine and we almost floated up above that endless countryside. Wind was fogged up in your pickup truck, it'd been driving me crazy for days. After the dance we went back to class and I couldn't concentrate. My friend started talking, said you called my name, your voice caught in the wind. Even through empty hallways I see your face. In the living room I stayed up until the sunlight came. I will wait as long as it takes. Always still spin back to us. The years seem to just fly by, but the river roses give us something to remember all those glimmering times. Your tight blue jeans in a movie scene and your silver starlight kiss I planted in my memory, never will forget. Night after the football game, you took me in your arms. Even through empty hallways, I see your face. In the living room, I stayed up until the sunlight came. I will wait as long as it takes. I'm in love. Like two suns as we crawled out of the water, caught in the middle of our love. Windows fogged up in your pickup truck, you've been driving me crazy for days. Tight blue jeans in a movie scene and your silver starlight kiss I planted in my memory and I never will forget. I see your face. In the living room I stayed up until the sunlight came. I will wait as long as it takes. I'm in love. I'm in love with that man. I'm in love.
was Paisley Fields, recorded this year. The title of the cut, Windows Fogged Up in Your Pickup Truck. This is Queer Voices.
This is Jack Valinsky.
And this is Brian Levinka. And we have a topic that's been very pressing on our community, and it's affecting everyone, but we wanted to specifically talk about the LGBT community, and that's the Affordable Health Care Act and its effect on our community. And people that should sign up, how do they sign up, all the questions we want to kind of touch on tonight. And in the studio we have Liz James, the CEO, president of Lesbian Health Initiative, and
Mario Castillo with Enroll America.
And, okay, we're going to talk about out to enroll specifically. And what is that and how can it affect our community? Or what's the purpose of out to enroll?
Well, first of all, I want to just thank you all for inviting us to come on to talk about what is absolutely, from my perspective, an unprecedented opportunity that we have to address what is an enormous need in our community. And we're in a state that has the most uninsured population by percentage than any state in the union, and so that means our community is, from an LGBT perspective, the most uninsured. And there has been research that shows that LGBT people are uninsured at twice the rate of heterosexuals.
Really?
And so the impact, and there's a number of reasons for that, but, and some of them we know right off the top of our head. We're in a state where marriage is not legal, and which will translate in a whole lot of ways, including businesses not offering domestic partner benefits. And so we've got a lot of partners, and we've got a lot of children that are in those relationships that are vulnerable as well. And I think it's really important to understand that this is not an individual impact. These are families. We're families. And so there's an enormous, enormous need. And I thought it would be helpful. We are going to talk about Out to Enroll. It is a wonderful resource and commitment at a national level that's supported by Health and Human Services, which is a part of our federal government, to really help us. And we're going to talk about that. But I wanted to share what I believe to be something that's really important. What I've found doing the work that we've done at LHI, since we have direct service programs partnered with organizations like Legacy to serve the community, is people don't really know who the uninsured are in our community. And so I thought it would be good to touch on that. And, you know, when we actually believe there's over 100,000 uninsured LGBT people in the greater Houston area. So what do? You think they're all not working? No. We've got the highest number of working uninsured also in the United States. And so people probably don't know this, but we believe that the vast majority of realtors in the greater Houston area, they're independent employees, basically. They have their own companies, and so they can't afford insurance. Believe it or not, small medical offices, dental offices, people that are in the food service business, small businesses, retail operations, we have got a lot of folks that you might not know that you're sitting with and you're out to dinner with that don't have insurance that are going to stand to benefit from this.
And we probably have a lot of people who are HIV.
That's a really, really good point, Jack. You know, you got a lot of people that are HIV. You've got a lot of people on these high-risk pool policies that cost...
Let me ask you that. We're talking about high-risk. Is high-risk going to go away?
That's a really good question. I like those questions, Jack. It is. And the good news is that this... that healthcare through the marketplace, we'd like to call it Obamacare, we've claimed that as a really good name, is, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about out to enroll, and I think I'm going to have Mario talk a little bit about how you can actually get engaged. But absolutely, people that have high risk, people who have pre-existing conditions, I'm one of those people. You know, I have been treated for hepatitis C, I am a cancer survivor, I'm a walking pre-existing condition. And so what's really one of the most wonderful things about these marketplaces and about the Affordable Care Act is we no longer are considered, the LGBT community and being a woman is no longer a pre-existing condition. That's pretty exciting, good news. And it's good news that through this there's affordable options for us.
And, you know, I'm not going to ask general specifics. Do we know what the rates are going to be? And I'm not asking for specific or numbers, but...
Yes, and I'm going to, we'll roll out the out to enroll so that the community can really understand what a great resource this is. And Mario is an expert. This is what Enroll America
Mario,
does.
Mario, we'll put you on the spot and, right now. Explain what out to enroll is.
So let me, I'll take the out to enroll and then we'll do the marketplace with Mario. But out to enroll is a national online. So everybody grab your pens or get your PC up or your smartphone out to enroll. It's OUT2enroll.org. It is an online resource that is there to answer questions specifically for the LGBT community. The reality is we have special needs. We are across the country in greater need for the health insurance. And so there's been funding and there's a collaborative at a national level that has created an online resource that answers a broad range of questions, whether or not you're married. If you're legally married in another state and you're enrolling in insurance, guess what? There's benefits potentially to you to know about that. And this site will answer a lot of questions. It'll answer questions if you have pre-existing conditions or HIV. It will answer questions relative to being transgendered. So the site, I want everybody to please go out and sign up. This is an important resource for the community. And I will let you know, LHI is on the advisory committee for Out to Enroll. And we are working right now. Mario and I have worked together, and we're working with the Out to Enroll folks. And we're actually talking with the Creating Change folks about having them come to town the second week in December.
So the Out to Enroll website, is that just to answer questions, or can you actually sign up through Out to Enroll?
That's a really good question. There is a link directly through. So there's a broad range of questions you can put in the state that you're from, and it will take you through and help walk through those questions associated to the state you're in. And at a very high level, with the Affordable Care Act, there are states that have what are called federally facilitated marketplaces. We're in one of those states, and there are some states that have launched their own marketplaces. So there are some variances from state to state.
Now, of course, we've been hearing about the systems being totally overloaded right now, and people can trying and can't get into that. We hear it's supposed to get better, but it's not quite there yet.
I think this is a really good segue into really Mario introducing himself and talking about Enroll America and answering that question.
Sure. Thank you. I'm here on behalf of Enroll America, and we are a national, nonprofit, nonpartisan 501c3 organization that is tasked with educating Americans about the Affordable Care Act and also linking them to assistance if they need help getting enrolled. And we are here in Texas, in all the major cities. We're in Houston. We're partnering with the city of Houston, in addition to all of the Navigator grant recipient organizations, to help provide that education and enrollment assistance. We have been out on the weekends at health fairs and events, not only getting people the information, but also offering them that login, that enrollment assistance. We have run into trouble with the website, like a lot of people, but today we just received guidance that using Internet Explorer actually gets you better results on
talk about the dark ages.
The marketplace. Exactly. And I think that, you know, that's probably part of the reason why a lot of us were having trouble. We haven't used Internet Explorer in a very long time. We tried it and we got all the way through. So Chrome, Firefox has been giving a lot of glitches, Internet Explorer, people are having success with. So they are working to fix the website. They took it down this weekend again to redo some configurations, and it's getting better every day. But there are still some troubles. But
I also understand you can actually fill it out on paper.
Yes, and it's a longer process.
Right?
You know, there's about 3 to 4 pages that you submit on paper initially. It goes off to London, Kentucky, and then it comes back with sort of what you qualify for and what sort of plans are available to you. So it takes a longer time. We have run into the issue of people wanting to do it on paper versus the computer because they're just more comfortable. They
right.
don't trust the internet.
Yeah, right.
The people that are really applying for insurance, maybe they don't have a computer at home. They don't have those resources. So it's sort of a generational socioeconomic thing. But the paper option is there if you want to take it.
Okay. So basically people have to enroll by December 15th, is it?
That's if you want your coverage to be effective January 1st.
Right.
Well, and I think that's a really good point you mentioned earlier, these high-risk pools. We don't want people to have gaps. And so in order to have coverage that's effective January 1st, they need to get enrolled by December 15th. And I think this is good news. I think that, you know, we've had a lot of politicalization about this whole process. And, oh, my God, the sites aren't up and running. This is not this is not a 50-yard dash. We've got some time here. We've got time to get the resources that are available through Out to Enroll, through Enroll America. In fact, you know, for our community with the health fairs that LHI does, and if I may do a quick plug for that, we've got one coming up on November 2nd. We have never had this many people pre-register and enroll, so we'll be providing mammograms, PAPs, blood work, heart and vascular risk assessments, body and skin scans, and flu shots, and a broad range of other things. And I am absolutely ecstatic to share that that Enroll America will be there to provide both education. We'll actually be doing enrollment.
Wonderful. So... is the high-risk pool going away, and isn't the Obamacare American Affordable Act better anyway?
Well, it is going away. The resources and coverage will be available through the marketplaces, and we already know that the cost is much less. And so I'd say the answer to that is a resounding yes. I mean, I talked to a chap this week who pays $900 a month.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
My God.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be... well, it's going to be way less than half of that.
Yeah.
So I think immediately the benefits and this concept of having an affordable option, and it's affordable. You know, I think it's worth noting that it's affordable because everybody has to be covered. It's a way to share the cost of health coverage across all of us so that we all benefit in this country. And so I'm a fan, LHI is a fan, and I think for the LGBT community, this is the best news we've had from a healthcare perspective ever.
Right.
I had a question. Is there a thought that the LGBT community would not participate in this? And what is the point of Out to Enroll? Is this to reach out to them thinking that they would not partake?
Well, if you stop and you think about LGBT, we're invisible in a lot of ways. You know, we're not, you know, there's a lot of initiatives at a national level to actually count us in surveys. LHI is doing some of that work so that we become a visible community. And so we're invisible to a degree.
Right.
And in addition to that, we all know we face discrimination, and there's enormous discrimination in health care still that exists today. And it isn't necessarily on purpose. It can be lack of education. But we're also in a state. Let's talk about why it's important in our state. If we're in a state where we have no legal protections from a job perspective, and our relationships are not acknowledged, there is certainly a need. Our community is not being recognized, so we're not getting to a whole lot of things, including health care. And because of the tremendous disparities and the higher risk for not having coverage, and also the higher risk for disease, we are at higher risk for a variety of cancers. Breast cancer, cervical cancer for women. With men, there's certainly a variety of cancers that you're vulnerable to.
Oral cancer has just come up.
Well, exactly. Yeah. The HPV, and, you know, let's talk about it. HPV is seen as a cervical cancer disease, and it is not just for women. It is a cancer that can affect you from an oral perspective. It is a skin-to-skin transmitted virus, and our community is impacted, and we need health care. You know, we smoke at like 50 to 200% more than heterosexuals do, so it puts us at higher risk for lung disease and lung cancer. And so to answer that question is we are outside, we are at much higher risk, and because this is rolled out in a generic way without real specific information for the LGBT community, Out to Enroll was formed to really provide very specific information. Now, here's this amazing news about the Affordable Care Act. By law, by federal law, the marketplaces are prohibited from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identification. And just think about what that means in our state. We are in a state where we have no protections. We are federally protected. So I'm going to ask people listening, I want you to know that that's your right, and I want you to get educated by going out to Enroll, to be armed. This is our health. This is our responsibility. And when you go out, you may end up talking to somebody that doesn't know how to engage us. And, you know, I think we need to first know that, you know, people are probably not doing that on purpose. They just don't know. And so one of the things I'm going to ask is if you do run into one of those things, I want you to send me an email. We've set up a special email address. It's ACA for Affordable Care Act at LHIHouston.org. And just let me know what's going on. Let us know what's going on, because what we want to do is we want to transmit that back and fix these things.
Mm-hmm. If we don't know about it, we can't fix
it. Absolutely. So the answer, that was a long answer to the question. We have great needs. We can't just expect that the national organizations and all the people that are been given the privilege to support us, to help us get enrolled, are going to know how to engage. And so we got this great support at federal level. They've provided support and some funding for Out to Enroll so that we can be armed and dangerous to get the health care we need and deserve.
We're going to have you all come back, because this is a continuing discussion. It's very important to the community. Thank you for all the work you're doing on this, because I know how confusing it is, and luckily I have insurance through my work, as a lot of people do, but there's an awful lot of people, especially here in Texas, that are the highest rate of uninsured.
Harris County is most uninsured.
Yes. And this is a way that, and because people don't have insurance, they wait till they're really sick before they get help. This will help people out in the fact that they could get regular checkups and deal with conditions before they get worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's a really, really good point. The insurance that's available through the marketplace has basic coverage that has to be the same for everyone, and preventative care is a really important piece of that, whether it's a mammogram or, you know, a prostate exam, things that we need to do to stay healthy, to get ahead and live great healthy lives so that we can have healthy families and healthy communities. So it's really exciting news. I am going to also ask a big favor. I'm a big believer that all of us can make a difference, and it's not that hard to do that. And we have shared information about outtoenroll.org, and it's www.out2enroll.org. Please go out to it. You know, there's Facebook, there's a Twitter, sign up, and tell the people that you know about this. We can tell people and help them get to care. Visit the Get Covered America, the Enroll America website. They're a great resource. You're going to see Mario and his team around town. They're obviously joining us at the health fair. And organizations like Legacy also have staff that are going to be helping with enrollment. So we'll all be working together.
Great. Liz and Mario, thank you very much for being on Queer Voices. Just want to remind you that we are in our pledge drive right now. We're asking you to help us raise the money that it takes to do this show every week. The fact is that we're all volunteers here on this radio show, but it costs money to keep our transmitter going and paying for our rent and paying for the small skeleton staff here at KPFT. All this does take money. And, you know, you notice when we're doing our radio show that we don't do commercials. We are basically talking about the issues that's going on in the community. Call us. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go directly to kpft.org. I know not everybody listens to the show live. They sometimes listen later on, because you can download our show or on iTunes. You can do it at kpft.org. You're listening to Queer Voices.
What converts a KPFT listener into a contributor? One reason is a deep concern about community. Many people who give tell us that, yes, having KPFT available is personally important, but equally important is making sure that anyone in the area has access to news and music programs that deliver more than just sound bites. That anyone has access to thoughtful discussion programs. That anyone has access to radio that is free of commercial influence. As you consider whether to give to KPFT, think beyond the value you receive. Think about the value KPFT delivers to the community. Think about how your gift, right now, makes it possible for anyone to discover and benefit from KPFT. Then please, become a new member of KPFT. The process takes just a few minutes of your time, and you're not only doing something good for you, you're doing something good for the entire community. Please call 713-526-5738 right now, and give as generously as you can. That's 713-526-KPFT. Thank you.
This is Queer Voices.
I believe that the institution of marriage for 2,000 years is between a man and a woman. And if we're going to change that core definition of marriage, I don't think that should be decided by 121 politicians in Trenton or seven judges on the Supreme Court.
We should not have the majority of the people decide the minority's rights. It's just wrong.
Which president is the lion of Christianity, the defender of Christian values? Those, ladies and gentlemen, are quotes from Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia.
to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Cyprus outlaws hate crimes against sexual minorities. New Jersey voters are torn between Christie and equality. And U.S. homophobes praise Putin's Russia. All that and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Natalie Peoples.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 12, 2013. The government of the Republic of Cyprus has amended its criminal code to outlaw incitement to violence and hatred based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Existing statutes criminalize bias based on such characteristics as race, religion, and national or ethnic origin. Protections for LGBT people from workplace discrimination in Cyprus were added in 2004. Homosexual acts remain illegal in the northern part of Cyprus, which is still occupied militarily by Turkey.
But news also broke this week that the leader of the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus has revived efforts to repeal that ban. According to Pink News, President Dervish İrulu promised British member of the European Parliament Mariana Yannakoudakis 2 years ago that the law banning private, adult, consensual homosexual acts would be repealed. The London MEP revived that effort this week in meetings with the Republican Turkish Party, the largest Turkish Cypriot political party, and its partner, the Democratic Party. She also met with the leader of the smaller Communal Democracy Party. All three parties reportedly promised to repeal the law within a few months.
LGBT people and their supporters paraded with pride for the first time this week in the second largest city in the Indian state of Gujarat. Surat boasts 4.5 million residents, making it the nation's eighth largest city. Activists marched in what was described by a local newspaper as one of Surat's upmarket areas. Estimates of the crowd ranged from 100 to more than 200. Some wore scarves or masks to hide their identity. Their political demands ranged from the final official repeal of India's law criminalizing consensual adult same-gender sex to marriage equality and adoption rights. Swagat Shah, one of the march organizers, told reporters that Gujarat is a conservative state and that this parade has given many people the chance to participate, and some of them have also decided to come out. He said that pride events are already being planned for other parts of the state.
News of ugly homophobia in recent months has focused on Russia and parts of Africa. Lest we forget, it's still extremely dangerous to be gay in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The civilized world has recoiled at photos of young men being publicly hanged there for homosexuality. Iran's Revolutionary Guard, the government militia charged with enforcing Islamic law, announced the detention this week of at least 17 people who were dancing at a birthday party in a meeting hall close to the Iraqi border in the western city of Kermanshah. The Guard website said a network of homosexuals and Satanists had been arrested following a raid on the rented hall where about 80 people were partying. There were some reports that foreign nationals, including Iraqis, were among the detainees. Guard officials claimed that the so-called network had been under surveillance for some time. The detainees reportedly had their phones confiscated, and it's not yet clear what they'll be charged with. Anyone even perceived to be LGBT in Iran can be severely punished by flogging, imprisonment, or even execution.
4 Russian activists were arrested this week in Moscow for protesting the nation's recently enacted law criminalizing propaganda of non-traditional sexual relationships to minors. The New York Times posted video of the violent altercation with police from the Russian news site Grani, showing the protesters first marching through the streets of Moscow's Arabet district. Their banners and chants were translated by the Times as "Hitler also began with the gays" and "No to fascism in Russia." A few bystanders in the video at first questioned the rough police action until they find out why the protesters are being arrested. One complains that the LGBT demonstration represented the decline of morality in her homeland.
67 people were arrested in St. Petersburg on October 11th when activists tried to observe National Coming Out Day, a global effort to encourage LGBT people to disclose their closeted identity to friends and family. Russian nationalists and religious fundamentalists clashed with the activists as they arrived for the rally at the Field of Mars, which has a war memorial. The venue is described as the city's Hyde Park, where demonstrations are allowed without prior approval. Police finally intervened and arrested several of the LGBT demonstrators, as well as counter-demonstrators. No serious injuries were reported. All of the LGBT detainees in this week's protests will presumably be fined, if not also jailed, for violating Russia's so-called no-promo-homo law.
In some rare good news for Russian LGBT activists, the city court of St. Petersburg has reversed a heavy fine against the Side-by-Side LGBT Film Festival, which had been prosecuted for violating the country's foreign agent law. Non-governmental organizations can be charged under the relatively new law for not disclosing financial assistance from outside Russia. Spokespeople for Side-by-Side repeatedly denied that the group had received any foreign funding. Deputy Chairman of the St. Petersburg City Court, Mikhail Pavluchenko, cited procedural violations for the ruling without going into much detail. A Side-by-Side media statement demanded the return of the large fine that the group had paid, with the help of several individuals and organizations, and hinted that it will sue the authorities for damages. A pending appeal by the leader of Side-by-Side in a separate case, which found him personally guilty of violating the foreign agent law and fined him the equivalent of more than $9,000, is expected to be heard in about a month.
The latest legislative assault on equality in Russia seeks to outlaw gay men from using surrogate mothers to have children. Vitaly Milonov, who co-sponsored the infamous anti-propaganda law, has suggested the amendment to a bill currently being considered in Parliament that would remove children from the homes of their lesbian and gay parents. It is necessary to amend the Russian law banning the promotion of homosexuality and pedophilia among minors, Milonov explained, officially registering a ban on the use of surrogacy for gay men and people with blurred sexual preferences. The bill to remove children from the homes of their gay or lesbian parents equates homosexual orientation with alcoholism, drug use, a history of violence, insanity, and child abuse. It's scheduled for parliamentary debate in February, just in time for the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi.
But seeing it as a key to membership in the European Union, lawmakers in the former Soviet nation of Moldova voted narrowly this week to repeal legislation passed in June that had outlawed the promotion of relationships other than those linked to marriage and the family. The measure was strongly supported by Moldova's Orthodox Church. Agence France-Presse reported that several dozen self-identified Christians holding crosses protested the pending repeal vote outside the parliament building and even tried to block lawmakers from entering.
Elsewhere, the Supreme Court in the U.S. state of New Jersey has agreed to an expedited hearing of Republican Governor Chris Christie's appeal of a lower court ruling in late September that ordered the opening of civil marriage to same-gender couples on October 21st. Christie had asked State Superior Court Judge Mary Jacobson for a stay of her ruling pending his appeal, but she denied that request earlier in the week. The New Jersey Supreme Court is expected to rule before October 21st on the question of issuing licenses to same-gender couples. According to the Associated Press, the High Court is scheduled to hear the full case on January 6th or 7th.
And finally, the late openly gay San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk is still making history 35 years after his assassination. The U.S. Postal Service announced on October 10th that the trailblazing activist will be the first out LGBT elected official to be featured on a U.S. postage stamp. Milk originally made history as the first openly gay man elected to public office in California when he won a seat on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in November of 1977. He was assassinated in his office at City Hall a year later by right-wing former supervisor Dan White. White had first shot and killed then-Mayor George Moscone in his office for refusing to reappoint him to the seat he had resigned from weeks earlier. The Harvey Milk Foundation has led lobbying efforts for the past several years to honor the martyred gay activist on a U.S. postage stamp. His out nephew, Stuart Milk, a foundation co-founder, proclaimed another first this week on the group's Facebook page. While further details are expected to be announced shortly by the Postal Service, the Foundation says that the special commemorative stamp will be issued sometime next year and will include one of Harvey Milk's signature phrases, "Hope will never be silent."
That's NewsWrap for the week ending October 12th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced this week by Wenzel Jones and Steve Pride.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Natalie Peoples.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
It's dangerous to say gay in Russia, but even in more accepting countries, it can also be problematic to look gay. We'll sort all this out later in the program.
How the world can change, it can change like that, due to one little word, marriage.
Most people in the U.S. state of New Jersey agree on two things. They love Governor Chris Christie, who enjoys a 63% favorability rating, and they support marriage equality. The problem is that equality and Christie don't fit. Christie was confronted by a restaurant patron about his position on the way to a televised debate with his pro-equality gubernatorial opponent, Democratic State Senator Barbara Bono. The incumbent denied that marriage equality was a human right and equated it with gun control as an issue he said should be decided at the ballot box. Christie was unwavering when the same question was raised during the debate.
Our next question comes from Alfred Doblin from The Record.
Governor, if you've nominated an openly gay mayor who supports marriage equality to the state Supreme Court, you were outraged after the suicide of a gay Rutgers student, Tyler Clementi, yet you still object to legalizing same-sex marriage, preferring to see it as a voter referendum. To many gays in New Jersey, these are mixed signals. Can you explain why who someone marries should be put to a voter referendum?
Sure, Alfred. I understand that people of goodwill can have differences of opinion on this issue, and it's a very contentious one, and it's certainly not one where opinion is not divided. Senator Buono and I have different opinions on this, but I absolutely believe in her goodwill and the fact that she holds that position because she believes that's what's right. In the same way, I believe that the institution of marriage for 2,000 years is between a man and a woman. And if we're going to change that core definition of marriage, I don't think that should be decided by 121 politicians in Trenton or seven judges on the Supreme Court. It should be decided by the 8.8 million people of New Jersey. And if they do decide to change the definition of marriage by referendum, then I will support that law and enforce that part of the Constitution with the same vigor that I've done over the last 4 years with every other part.
Well, Senator Buono, can you respond to that?
Yes. The governor said today at a diner in Edison that he equated marriage equality with guns and taxes. It's a human right. I mean, Governor, have the courage show a profile and courage and do the right thing for our sons and our daughters, our brothers and our sisters. This is a human right, and it really should not be on the ballot. We should not have the majority of the people decide the minority's rights. It's just wrong.
Governor Christie, 30-second rebuttal.
Well, listen, 35 other states, 35 of the 50 have put this question on the ballot. And so the idea that this should never be on the ballot is something that is against what 35 other states have done. I trust the people of New Jersey to make this judgment. I don't trust 121 politicians with political agendas who decide these things. Remember, in 2009, the Democratic Party, who's advocating for this now, had control of the state house entirely, and they did not pass marriage equality. Let's not leave this to politicians. Let's put it in the hands of the people to decide.
Buono belatedly made the issue personal before responding to the next question.
I just want to start out by saying that my daughter, who's openly gay, is not a political agenda.
Democratic New Jersey State Senator Barbara Buono was trailing incumbent Republican Governor Chris Christie by over 20 points going into that October 8th debate. Election day is November 5th. A talk with a typical teenager takes its toll on an atypical uncle. But first, you might think that the U.S., Europe, and most of the Western world have spoken with one voice to condemn the growing oppression of lesbians and gay men in Russia. But you'd be wrong. Several right-wing groups in the U.S. have applauded the trend. As we reported last week in NewsWrap, America's rabidly anti-gay National Organization for Marriage, fresh off a string of failures to stop marriage equality from making gains in the U.S., has been exporting its homophobic agenda, most recently to Russia. The group's president, Brian Brown, visited that country earlier this year to spread a message that was right in step with President Vladimir Putin's escalating efforts to curb the basic rights of LGBT people. Brown's efforts and the vocal support Putin is getting from other right-wing groups in the U.S. has also not escaped the notice of MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow.
There's been a worry building for a while now over how really radically anti-gay Russia has become under Vladimir Putin. It is not a new phenomenon. After repeated violent attacks on gay pride parades in Russia, Moscow decided last summer that they would temporarily ban gay pride parades. The term of the temporary ban in Moscow is 100 years, a 100-year ban. So problem solved for the next century then. As the Olympics have approached, though, Russia has really stepped it up. In June, they passed a law that criminalizes even saying that gay people should have equal rights. They say it's an anti-propaganda law. Then came their new law that bans Russian kids from getting adopted by any same-sex couples from other countries. The new law even bans any single people or even unmarried straight couples from adopting Russian kids if the country that you live in allows same-sex marriage. So even unmarried American straight people are not allowed anymore to adopt one of the 600,000 Russian kids who are up for adoption because America is too gay for Russia. The flurry of new anti-gay laws in Russia has caused some consternation about the Olympics. This becomes particularly acute now that Russia's moving on to their next big idea, which is they want to go into people's homes and start removing kids from their parents if their parents are gay. Adopted kids, foster kids, even your biological children will be taken away from you if you are gay, under the next bill that they're moving. It's an interesting question for other countries in the world, as Russia keeps moving on this stuff, as to whether or not participating in the Russian-hosted Olympics implies some sort of tacit consent, some sort of tacit approval for what Russia is doing. But what about not tacit approval, not silent approval? What about totally out loud, overt approval of what Russia's doing?
Putin's saying, you know what? Don't bring this homosexual propaganda into my country for the Olympics.
Bob Vanderplas, president and CEO of The Family Leader.
We believe in one man, one woman marriage. There is no homosexual marriage in Russia. He's taken what used to be our strengths, which is now defaulted into our weaknesses because of Barack Obama, no leadership, and he's making them his strengths, and he's emerging now on the world stage as a newly discovered leader. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to rise up. The people here, this is why we rise up.
Which president is the lion of Christianity, the defender of Christian values, the president that's calling his nation back to embracing its identity as a nation founded on Christian values? Those, ladies and gentlemen, are quotes from Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia.
Brian Fisher, director of issues analysis for the American Family Association.
What Russia's done here with this law is they have expressed the values that we have been advocating for years and years and years. Well, this is exactly what Russia has established as official public policy. So in my mind, we ought to be celebrating this. This is public policy that we've been advocating, and here's a nation in the world that's actually putting it into practice.
Turns out, actually, that the anti-gay American right has been more than just applauding Russia and Vladimir Putin as they enact all these anti-gay laws that they want for us here, too. Turns out that they haven't just been cheering them on. The anti-gay right here has also been helping Russia do this. Right Wing Watch at People for the American Way and the Human Rights Campaign and the Council for Global Equality, they've been trying to ring the alarm bell here in the U.S. about how the American anti-gay group called the National Organization for Marriage has been working with the Russian parliament. They worked with the Russian parliament on passing that country's adoption ban for not just gay people, but for whole countries that are too positive on gay rights. It was June 11th when the Russian parliament passed the propaganda bill, the you can't talk about being gay bill. That was June 11th. 2 days later, on June 13th, the Russian parliament got a visit from Brian Brown. He's the head of the American Anti-Gay Group, the National Organization for Marriage. Brown is now confirming that he was there. He says Russian anti-gay activists invited him to Russia to address lawmakers there about their anti-gay laws, and he did so. Brown wrapped up his remarks to the Russian parliament by saying he thought his visit to Russia will enable the development of this movement around the world. We will band together. We will defend our children and their normal civil rights. Every child should have the right to have normal parents. He also did interviews with the Russian media while he was there, talking about how important it is for the Russian people to fight gay people on marriage and on adoption. And 5 days after that visit to Russia and his speech to parliament and his interviews on Russian TV, Russia did pass their new adoption ban, targeting not just gay couples, but even straight people from any country that supports gay rights. The bill's Russian sponsor said that even though there are hundreds of thousands of kids up for adoption in Russia, those kids would be better off in an orphanage than living with a mom or a dad who's gay. That passed 5 days after the American National Organization for Marriage went over to Russia and told them to pass it. Now Russia's moving on to the next step. The legislative calendar's been set for them to debate their new bill, which would forcibly remove kids from existing families if the parents in those families are gay. You'll be stripped of your custody rights of your own kids if the Russian government thinks you're gay. The debate on that bill is set to start in February. The Russian Olympics are set to start in February. That should be interesting.
That was MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow. And finally this week, just what is gay? And how does one go about looking it? Cultural theorist and self-identified mischief maker Charlie Bauer tries to figure that out.
Recently, I found myself having the typical banal conversation with my 17-year-old nephew about music and sneakers. I'd casually mentioned that I liked a certain singer, to which his response was that they were a bit gay. Gay? I said, what do you mean, a bit gay? He's just so gay, that's all. But I'm gay, I replied. Yes, I know, he agonized, but you're not gay-gay. You're quite cool. I'd never been so confused in my life. Later, I looked at myself in the bathroom mirror, as I occasionally have to, but these days I'm reluctant to do, and the conversation replayed itself in my head. Do I look gay? I asked myself aloud. When I look in the mirror, the only thing I see is me. Although I have to say, now and again, I see someone who isn't me, but younger and thinner, someone I'd like to be. Nevertheless, I still didn't feel or look particularly gay. One time my hair had been cut by a friend with a hangover and the fringe was a bit askew. She'd also reshaped my eyebrows into arches, but I could hardly say that even the pronounced scar line through the left one made me look particularly gay. I do occasionally wear collegiate t-shirts, more jock than gay really, but at the end of the day that's just a uniform. And anyhow, looking like a jock makes you look a bit, well, gay anyway in certain situations. Then it hit me hard. The real reason behind my dilemma, the only time that I could look or feel truly bona fide gay, was when I was actually having gay sex, which, in times like these, were few and far between. I looked back into the mirror and made the shattering realization that if I was only gay when I was having gay sex, then what was I the rest of the time? My God, I thought, normal. Something up to this point I never even considered. Okay, answer this, I continued. If I'm only really defined by the sex I'm having, and I'm hardly getting any sex, does that mean that I'm hardly gay too? I felt like a liar, an imposter, a phony homo. I stood and pursed my lips in the mirror. Well, this looked gay, but that gayness drifted away as soon as my face went back to normal. I concluded that not only can I look gay for a measly 5 minutes, there seemed to be more time spent between being normal and the few and far betweens. A drink called me in from the living room, and even though only noon, I took a swig directly from the bottle. I remembered when I was a 17-year-old gorgeous thing myself, and I sought advice from an elder, someone who really knew their stuff, Quentin Crisp. The Evening with Quentin Crisp tour took place just before his relocation to New York, and he played a 1,000-seater theater in my English hometown. 30 people turned up, of which I, still a schoolboy, was one. The second half of the show was dedicated to a question-and-answer session where, if you were too self-conscious, young or closeted, Quentin would answer anonymous questions written on cards during the interval. I wrote my statement down as I knew I'd never be able to say it out loud. I wrote that, at my school, the word for calling someone queer had been replaced by calling someone Quentin. I added that I never realized the compliment those boys were paying me as they beat me until I saw him speak that night. After the show, I sat in the foyer talking with Quentin. He knew I fielded the statement as I was the only person there of school age within the audience. What I didn't realize at the time was that as we talked, I was inadvertently asking him what the whole gay thing meant. I often wondered if he invented it there and then, but he told me that gay was actually a political term, an acronym that carried a coded meaning. He told me that codes and metaphors were to become a new language for me within my new sexual identity. It was the language of my history. He told me that gay actually stood for good as you. Important words to a 17-year-old. My 17-year-old nephew, however, had another language. A language where gay meant something different all over again. That's so gay. It was as if my identity had become somehow inverted. Did I feel offended? Actually, no. Probably amused, safe in the fact that I don't really have to be as good as anyone else, and I can be as normal as I see fit. I'm Charlie Bauer.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Natalie Peoples, Wenzel Jones, and Charlie Bauer contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Alan Cumming performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by the Yavanna Foundation, the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and by listener support. Log on to thiswayout.org for news wrap transcripts, subscription information, staff pictures, and for links to our podcasts, blog, and Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Arrow FM, Masterton, New Zealand, KUNR, Reno, Nevada, WRSU, New Brunswick, New Jersey, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station, and we're going to all stay tuned.
Well, you know, one of the premiums that we're giving out for this pledge drive is 100-plus speeches on a USB drive, and that's for $180. And I will promise you those are not marathon speech, begging-type speeches. They are speeches about social justice, about the things that we stand up here for on KPFT. We're asking you to please help support this radio station and help support this show, Queer Voices, in particular, because we need your help. I mean, we have a goal. We have a goal of $600, and that's what they set for this show for each of our 3 weeks in this drive of what they think we should be able to raise. We're not anywhere near that goal, so we're asking you if you can do that, if you're able to, you know, especially if you haven't been a member in a long time or have never been a member. Less than 10% of the people that listen to this radio station are members, and this is a member-driven radio station. station. So please do your part to keep this radio station alive and going so that this station can continue on to do the type of programming that we do that talks about the community, that talks about what's needed to be done, and to be sort of logical. I mean, the type of things that we talk about, real science and things that really happen, and sometimes they're not the best type of news you want to listen to, but it is things that is important, because this station is about social justice. Please, if you have a chance to do that, you're able to do that, you've got, you can call us right now at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT, or you can go directly to our website, especially if you're listening later on, not live, go to kpft.org and pledge to Queer Voices.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
This way.
You're listening to Lestopia Radio on Queer Voices 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. Lestopia Radio, radio for and about lesbians, music, pop culture, stuff lesbians love. With your hosts, DJ Angie Moreno, DJ Photo, and producer Joy Villa O. Tune in and listen to the only all-lesbian radio in the South.
And good evening. This is Angie Moreno with Lestopia Radio, the only all-lesbian radio show in the South on Queer Voices 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. And with me tonight, I have...
DJ Photo. What's
Hi.
Up?
How are you?
Doing very well.
Awesome, awesome. And we want to do a quick shout out to Joy. She's actually going to school right now, so she's probably going to be out of the loop for a couple of months. So we have a producer tonight standing in for her. Shout out to Lilia Garza for helping us to produce the show tonight. She's waving hello. And I'm really excited about tonight's show because we have...
You're a fangirl right now.
Yeah, I'm a fangirl right now. And the reason why is because we have two awesome interviews. And actually, I just found out that both of these musicians or bands, there's a voting thing about Write Out TV. What is this?
It's a worldwide contest for LGBT members of music, basically. There's different categories from pop to dance to rock and roll, country, even gospel. But the Clicks, I don't know if we announced which bands we're talking about, but the Clicks and also Carrie Kate from Texas, Carrie Kate and the Stonewall Riot are both actually up for some different nominations. I think the website was www.writeouttvawards.com. I think you can find out which, you know, categories they're voted for.
Right, and I think the deadline to vote is October 21st. So tonight we're going to introduce two of our the bands that we're interviewing tonight are Lucas Silvera, which I'm really excited about, with the Clicks, and also Naomi Toledo is going to be in the studio with Carrie Kay and the Stonewall Riot representing. So I'm really excited about these interviews. But first of all, I don't know if you heard Jack Valensky, the producer of Queer Voices, but we are needing to raise $600 tonight. Our goal is $600. Of course, KPFT is listener sponsored. It's a commercial free radio station. In order for us to do this, we need members like yourselves to pledge. You know, just, you know, call, pick up the phone at 713-526-KPFT. That's 713-526-5738. You can also go online at kpft.org and make your pledge. It can be, you know, just a few bucks, $30 a month, however you want to do it. You know, instead of spending that money at your expensive coffee shop, you know, just pitch in and keep, you know, commercial-free radio live to keep programs like Queer Voices and Liztopia on the air. So we are calling out on all our friends, you know, please make that pledge tonight. Our goal is $600 tonight, so we need you. So we are going to listen to the song coming up is going to be Walking in a Graveyard, and that is by The Clicks. So let's tune in and listen to that. You're listening to Liztopia Radio on Queer Voices 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, and we were just listening to Walking in a Graveyard by The Clicks, and I think that's pretty awesome. It's kind of Halloweenish, so I think by the title.
Very, very appropriate.
Yeah. And I want to introduce our first guest, Lucas Severa from The Clicks, and I have to say I am really nervous right now. this is Angie Moreno. Lucas, are you on the air?
I am here.
You know, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and I'll explain why I am so nervous. I came out in 2007 when I was in Chicago for a couple of years, and one of the first albums that I purchased was by The Clicks. So you're like the first group that I became aware of when I came out. So I'm so honored to have you on our show. So
well,
welcome.
That's so sweet. I love these stories.
Oh,
Don't be nervous.
Okay, I won't.
I'm a schmuck.
Okay. And your voice is really sexy, by the way. So.
Well, thank you.
You're going to have to give her a nice big hug when you come to Houston.
This is DJ Photo, by the way.
Oh, by the way, this is DJ Photo. And, yeah, she's, like, shaking over there. Like, You'll have to give her a nice warm hug when you come into Houston.
So we're really,
you got it.
We're really excited about having you come to Houston at the usual on October 26th. That's awesome to have. I can't wait to see you perform live. This will be the first time that I see you perform live. But if the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with Lucas Severa from The Clicks, you really need to Google The Clicks. But I'm sure a lot of our listening audience does know about this wonderful band. I first found out about The Clicks through the L Word, of course. the complicated song. I love that complicated song on the L Word soundtrack. So that's how I first found out about you. But tell me, your album, Black Tie Elevator, this is an awesome album. I just heard it this week. Tell us about Black Tie Elevator. What motivated
okay, well,
you to write?
I started writing for this record probably, I don't know, I guess it was about 2.5-3 years ago. And I sort of decided to leave my hometown, and I moved to Brooklyn, New York for about a year. And in the time that I was there, most of the stuff that's on the record was written all when I was living in Brooklyn. And just like a very strange period of my life, as all periods of my life have been. But again, a very transitional period of my life. And I moved there to sort of get away from something that I was trying to get away from here, which I think in part was myself, and figured out that I was going to take myself wherever I went. And I think it was also because I was transitioning on hormones and changing a lot, and I just sort of wanted to be on my own and deal with it on my own. And the album itself doesn't really have anything to do with my transition, you know, at all. It just has to do with the places that I really delved into myself while I was going through it. And it really shows a huge change in me. I think that's the most transitional part of it, because I think I became so comfortable with my voice and with my body that I think I finally found sort of like where I belong musically. And I think that's what this album like represents to me.
Right. And you can definitely tell the process in your different albums. Yeah, and your voice, it's amazing on this album. The cover, that's your artwork on the album.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about, because this is awesome. Can you describe the artwork for the listeners? You know,
yeah,
why?
It's a black and white painting that I did of myself. Sort of like the side of my face, and at the time I had sort of like a pompadour hairstyle, which is very exaggerated in the painting.
Right.
And also there's sort of a machine coming out of the back of my head. And it was just an idea that I actually was talking about. I wanted, because I'm a visual artist and painting, we thought it'd be great to sort of have something of mine on the cover to sort of, you know, I don't know, I guess promo myself in that capacity as well.
Right.
And in the conversation that I was having with my producer, Hill Kirkutis, who is also a really good friend of mine, I was just saying, well, I feel so silly just like making this like, you know, painting of myself. And in talking, we were talking about, you know, the name of the album and also like the evolution of me. And she came up with this like really neat idea that she started talking to me about steampunk art.
Yeah.
Which involved sort of like natural things with very, sort of industrial things.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a perfect idea. So I just started looking at a lot of steampunk art and was very, very influenced by that.
I love steampunk art. And so I understand we were doing research on you. You're working on an art collection right now to exhibit, correct?
I'm trying in between trying to get tours together and rehearsals and all that stuff. It's really, really tough. Painting is like one of those things where it takes so much. It's not like writing music where you kind of sit down and you write and it's done. It's like, it's really, really, you have to be like in a really, really solid like zone to do it. And if I'm not, I just get really frustrated and I just stop. And it's really hard to find time to do that, you know? So I'm trying, and I'm hoping that by next summer I will have something completely done. And I actually, I'm going to try to do this. I don't know if it's going to happen because ideas are all ideas, but Pride, World Pride happens here in Toronto in 2014, and I was going to try to have an exhibit for that.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I definitely have to make it there to see that. That is cool. And how long have you been, have you always been that creative as far as drawing and your artwork? I mean, visual artwork, or is this something that just came about, you know, more recently?
Oh, no, it's been something that's been, you know, part of me for a really, really long time. I used to be really, really into painting and drawing, probably since I was like, I don't know, 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remember even when I was in grade school in grade 7 and 8, my teacher pulled me out to tell me that she wanted to put me in a special program for artists. And so like 5 geeks from every class got pulled out, and we got to go and sit for like, you know, 3 hours a day in a room to go and express ourselves, you know, just like other people were really good at, you know, running or doing whatever.
Right.
This is, you know, sort of what I did. So, yeah, no, it's been something in my life for a really long time. I just never really, I don't know, I never really had it out there because I got so busy with music. And I personally, I just didn't really think anybody cared, you know.
Wow. Wow. You're definitely the Renaissance man, because not only are you, you know, you're a visual artist, but you're also a musician, and you're an actor as well. So,
oh, God.
Yes, I'm going to pull it out.
I don't know if I'm an actor. I've been in a couple of movies. I wouldn't say I'm an actor, but...
Well, if you've been in a couple of movies, I would say that you are definitely an actor. Like, for instance, I've learned about that you are coming up. Are you currently preparing to play the male lead role in a short film called Candy by Cassandra Cronenberg?
I just did that, actually. It's already out. Premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Oh, awesome. And that's a daughter of infamous director David Cronenberg, so that's really cool. I'm a fan of
David. I don't know, my life is so weird. I always tell people I have the strangest life. I'll just be sitting around one day and I'll just get like an email being like, hey, do you want to be in my movie? And by the way, I'm like, you know, David Cronenberg's daughter. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Sounds cool.
And what was the other film that you were in?
I was in a movie called Hope, and that was probably about, about 5 years ago. It's directed by this really great director his name is Pedro Pires, and he was actually Portuguese, but from Montreal and lived in Quebec, and it was this company called Five Films. And it's actually quite a beautiful film. It's a short film as well, a very, very surreal sort of film. I have no lines in it, which again, you know, I'm one of the lead characters, but I have like zero lines. It's very like dreamlike, and it was based on a one woman play, that this woman, Marie Brassard did in Montreal.
Ah.
It's beautiful. I don't know if it's anywhere online though. I've never seen it online. I have a copy myself, but I wouldn't be able to direct. And I wish I could, because it's such a beautiful little movie.
I'm definitely going to research that one. So how do you find time with all of this? Like, I mean, do you have ADD? Can you not sit still? Do you have to be doing a lot of things at the same time?
That's pretty much it, actually. You know, I get in trouble from my wife now, I guess,